Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is TNA Superstar EC3.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
This is WWE Superstar The Miz.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap. And you're listening to the greatest rap.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
Bada boom! Realest guys in the world. How you doing?
It can be anyone but you, man. Anyone but you. To the rest of the world, say your prayers. Lock your doors. The family has returned. Run
with your host.
Yeah, kitty, kitty, kitty.
You forgot to say please.
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
Now I've heard it said a few times by a couple of different people that maybe I have a big ego. As good as I am, I should have the biggest ego on the planet. Hell, after all, I am that damn good.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Feel it coming in the air.
Yeah.
And the screams from everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm addicted to the thrill.
I'm ready.
It's a dangerous love affair.
Come on.
Can't be scared when it goes down. Got a problem, tell me now. Only thing that's on my mind.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And a big shout-out over to the folks over at Gerwig.net. Hello. Thank you so much for listening to us over there. I am your host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin'.
That is I. I am here. We are live on the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network. You can follow the show on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, at Rack Radio Show, at Gerwick, at Lindsay Ward on the Twitters.
Yes, and well, we're not the Ambrose Asylum, but we are the Rack, and we don't have nifty handy flyers, but we have to open just with something magical that just happened on SmackDown because it was too awesome for words. And that was the match that was Chris Jericho and Sami Zayn, which was amazing. If you missed it, try and go find it on YouTube because it was spectacular. Or watch the replay on Universal HD. Check your local listing. Ding! But there was something else magical about this match.
Okay, so Sami Zayn and Chris Jericho, you think, oh, that's a great match. Great match. Yes, it was. But what added to it was the commentary, because partway through the match, out comes Kevin Owens. He's all smiley and happy, and he's all, hi, I'm here, and then Dean Ambrose shows up. And what is Dean Ambrose doing? He is promoting his show, The Ambrose Asylum. Now,
he's passing out flyers.
He's passing out flyers as he walks up and down the aisle, giving them to fans, gave one to Kevin Owens, and then the two of them had a battle on commentary, and it was fantastic.
I need more of that in my life. I need more of Kevin Owens and Dean Ambrose just bickering with each other in my life.
Apparently, Ambrose is going to keep his show PG. There's no violence, no nothing.
I'll believe that when I see it.
He's going to make this so serious. It's going to be the best show ever, and I can't wait for the Ambrose Asylum to kick off.
It's going to be awesome. This was just, if you missed this, you need to go back and watch it. It was awesome. I just need more of Dean Ambrose and Kevin Owens bickering in my life because it's hilarious.
It's amazing.
Dean Ambrose is kryptonite to Kevin Owens' ego, and it's fabulous.
Yes, it is.
It's absolutely fabulous. So, now we're going to jump into the actual news, but we had to gush about that for a minute.
We went Throwback Thursday with SmackDown Report.
That's all that really happened.
Yeah. Because the rest of the people are overseas.
Yeah, and one got hurt. We'll get into that.
We'll get there. Right. We'll get there.
So we're going to jump right into the news brought to our friends over at PWMania.com and TNAsylum.net, the haven for TNA fans. And, well, I think we have to talk about the TNA story first, because it kind of is the biggest news of the week, more or less. There are a couple other bad things that happened, but we need to talk about this, because there's a couple things that are tied to this. And that is that it was announced that TNA will be moving their worldwide headquarters out of the West Nashville location where they are now to the Shop TNA warehouse, which is about a 15,000 square foot facility?
About 20.
Somewhere else in Nashville. It's an undisclosed location, which originally it was cited that they're moving due to cost-cutting saving measures, which, okay, I can respect. And then, well, this one took a turn.
A word got floated,
and it seems that it's not just cost-cutting measures. It seems the rumor going around town is that TNA is being evicted from their current space, and they're being forced to move.
Those are words you do not want to hear at any point in time.
Now, when Rock told me this, I asked him, because there's two kinds of evicted. Okay? There's the evicted where you don't pay your bill, or you don't pay your rent, and they throw you out. We all know that evicted. But there's the other kind of evicted where the owner of the building decides not to renew your lease. They want the space for something else. And so they basically evict you. It's not that you were a bad tenant or anything. It's just they want to do something else with the space. They need it, so they're not going to re-sign you or redo the lease. But it seems that this is the former, as it were, because rumors are going around, again, this is all speculation, that TNA was behind on their payments several times, the landlord had enough, and gave them 90 days to get out.
So, they've been aware of this. They moved originally to the basement. They had offices up higher in the building, but they moved to where the production studio was in those offices down in the basement a couple months ago for cost-cutting measures, because they were getting behind on payments in general. And then it appears that, well, those payments sort of, they're a little bit behind, and now they're sort of running out of time, and now they have to move completely. Yeah, this does not bode well for them. TNA's been there since 2002, when they first built up. I think Dixie was even there beforehand, where she ran her company. I believe that's the old...
I know the warehouse, I think, is where Dixie's company was, or it was associated with Dixie's company. I don't remember, honestly, if Dixie's company was in those offices.
Yeah, it was. I'm reading it now. Yes, she was.
So she had the space, and then, yeah. Because they actually had a very, very nice office at one point, where they did have the upper floors, and then you had the production studio and the Shop TNA warehouse all in the same building. And it's a really nice building. It was a really nice office. And, you know, you hear the rumors that TNA was getting behind on paying their wrestlers, they were getting behind on paying their crew. It's not overly shocking that they were behind on the rent.
No, it was probably just another thing where it's like, okay, eventually things will catch up to us. And they've had a lot of issues. Why the last set of TV tapings was not announced till the very end was because they had no money to fund them. Or they were short on money for funding it, which is why the investors have chimed in and started to pay for it a little bit, which is why they have tapings coming up. And why they were able to get those last set of tapings off the ground, which is a very bad sign for the company, but at least people are pumping money into it.
But they're only going to do that for so long.
Oh yeah, it's only so long before they want more than just here's some money to keep your show going. They're going to want more of a say in it. To finish up this part of the story, the production aspect of the company is to be moved to North Star Productions in Nashville. That's where they'll be doing a lot of their TV production from, and the rest of the office will, as Lindsay mentioned, will be going to the Shop TNA warehouse, which is a big enough building if you were an indie promotion, which it's hard to, you know, say TNA isn't at this point, but they have national TV, so kind of they're a little step above it. It just doesn't... It's one of those flags that wave red, as it were, for the company?
Well, it's no secret that TNA has been losing money for years. I don't think they've really ever been overly successful. I think I can remember there was maybe a year to 2 year period in its entirety where they're running in the black. And that was right before Jared left. And then Dixie took over. And at one point, Jared was going to buy TNA back, and the Carters would only sell if Dixie got to keep control, which Jarrett didn't want to do. And the company's been in a decline ever since, where it's been steadily losing money. They've stopped running shows. They're not And that's the thing, is they've stopped running shows. So they're not bringing in any money. They're basically relying on their TV licenses and any revenue that they make from Shop TNA, which is not enough to float the company.
Which I don't think they're making a lot from Shop TNA, because I don't see a lot of TNA shirts being sold, seeing as they don't run many events.
No, and it's kind of one of those, it's just a really sad state of affairs for them, and now you're hearing that TNA is looking for investors, they're looking for people to buy into the company. But the tricky thing of that is that the Carters are not willing to give up control of TNA. Dixie still wants to hold on to having all the say in the company, and it's kind of getting to that point where it's like, well, you may have to give that up if you want to save it. Because if you're getting evicted, if all of this is true, which again, this is all speculation, but them leaving is not. That's the actual story, but, you know, them being evicted, that's supposedly what's going on. And then, you know, we know the well-documented history of the financial troubles. And it's just, it's kind of getting to that point for them where it's like, you may have to give up your controlling interest, or you may have to give up control of the company to whoever buys it. Because at this point, you have people giving you money, and they're giving you money to get the shows off the ground. But that's basically like taking, you know, a stack of $100 bills and throwing it into a fire. You're never going to see that money back. They know that.
Yeah, they're going in knowing the situation.
So it's, they're only going to do that for you so many times before eventually they either call the investment or they walk away.
Right.
Which more than likely they're going to call the investment, and then how are you going to pay them back? What is their return for this? So it's a very precarious situation for TNA right now. It's very alarming, to say the least. I hope, you keep hoping and praying that they're going to pull out. You keep hoping and praying for a miracle that somebody's going to come in and buy it. Somebody's going to come in and turn it around, but it just doesn't seem feasible. And then to make matters worse, the other TNA story that we have is that, well, TNA and Pop TV supposedly have decided together to move the Impact replay to Saturday mornings.
It's going to be airing on Saturday mornings, 11:30 a.m. instead of the midnight East Coast time airing 9 p.m. on the West Coast, airing on Tuesday night, which they don't, the way Pop TV works, it's just a simultaneous network. There's no East Coast and West Coast feed.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever airs at that specific time anywhere. So if you're on the West Coast now, Impact's airing at 6. So
in the morning?
No, 6 p.m.
Oh, okay.
It's airing at 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. here. Before, you would air at 6 p.m. there, and also at 9 p.m. there. So if you wanted to catch it at 9, you could catch it at 9 on the West Coast, which would be midnight East Coast, which they would get about 80,000 viewers for. I think that was the general number on average for that airing, which is decent for that time slot, I suppose. But I don't expect them to garner any sort of traction on Saturday. The way it's being floated is they're testing the waters for a second show on the network, because apparently Pop TV is happy with how things are going at the moment, as it were. I guess that's the best way to put it. They're happy with things.
Supposedly, although the ad revenue numbers kind of say otherwise, but
yeah, so PW Torch posted an article the other day about the ad revenue. This is just for one particular episode of Impact, and this is basically what they do. The March 29th TNA Impact generated $18,414 in ad revenue, which was less than half of the Days of Our Lives leading. Impact also generated less money for a 30-second ad than an acquired movie. TNA Impact's first run airing revenue was $18,414, which is an average for a 30-second ad of $335. Days of Our Lives deleted drew $44,135, which is an average unit cost for a 30-second ad of $1,100 to $1,250. You've Got Mail acquired movie 30-second ad, $406. Yeah, that's alarming.
Mm-hmm.
That's very alarming, just to see where their ad revenue is.
And that's one show. It can fluctuate higher, it can fluctuate lower, but yeah, that's not, when you're only pulling in $18,000 in ad revenue, that's not a lot.
Okay, now, comparison, because that was March 29th, right?
Right.
The Postmania Raw on April 4th generated $940,000 in ad revenue, while the Raw from April 11th was around $1.1 million in revenue. Then the two-hour SmackDown, which generated about $785,000 in ad sale revenue on March 31st, leading the WrestleMania. Both shows command about $12,000 to $13,000 for a 30-second ad. So how much was the TNA ad again?
$18,000.
No, that was their full price for a 30-second ad.
Oh, I forget. How much is the 30-second ad?
That was $335. WWE for a 30-second ad is $12,000 to $13,000. You want to know why WWE is able to stay in business? That's why.
Yeah, that's why.
The average unit cost for a 30-second spot on Chrisley Knows Best is $9,000 to $12,000. For Motive, it's $8,000 to $9,000. Another USA Network television program. That's just comparing the numbers, and you just see, and that's low for WWE, because other shows, you know, other sports shows draw higher, but WWE's clearly entertainment when they need to be. But it just shows why TNA is struggling to survive. They are not able to draw ad revenue of any kind, and it sucks, because there's a great number of workers there who, deserve to be employed. At some point, the pot is going to just run out.
And I think it's getting really, really, really low at this point. I mean, like I said, I think a lot of people are hoping that there's going to be that miracle that happens and somehow TNA magically turns around, like somebody hits the lottery or something and buys TNA. But given the fact that the Carters are not willing to give up control of the company, I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I don't think it's going to happen at all.
And that's sad. That's really sad, because it's kind of, I think everybody's kind of at this point waiting just for that story to come out that TNA has declared Chapter 11 bankruptcy, or even Chapter 12, because it's just they can't stay afloat.
At some point, it's going to burst. The bubble will burst at some point for them.
Yeah, and I hate having these conversations about TNA, because I like TNA. I enjoy TNA. I hate to see the fact that they're struggling and they're going out of business, because you've watched kind of really the rise and fall of the company. And it's very, very, very depressing to see. Because at once upon a time, TNA was the hope of the wrestling fans. A lot of people hated it, but a lot of people had hopes that, hey, this could be an alternative to WWE. Same thing for ROH. And ROH is holding its own. It's profitable. I think it's in the black. They're doing okay, but they have not gone to the heights that some people have expected them to.
Yeah.
And TNA tried to go to those heights and got knocked down, and now here they are.
And here we sit, yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of one of those things where it's like, you hate to see them go out of business, and you just hope and pray that somebody turns it around. But I don't know if they will. And on that happy note...
But no, for a happy note for TNA, because there is one happy note for TNA.
Yes.
They recently had a deal with the Fight Network in Canada, and they're going to be providing on-demand content, and they've had a bigger distribution agreement with the Fight Network. Currently airs TNA program, including Impact in Canada, the expansion distribution agreement will kick in during the second quarter of 2016. We're going to collaborate to produce digital content, and we'll also partner on cross-promotion and joint sales efforts in global markets, as well as in the U.S. and Canada. The Fight Network is pushing a new over-the-top app that say it's available on Apple TV and Amazon Fire, Roku, etc., etc. So, at least there's that positive for TNA.
Yay for the positives.
Yeah, their content will be on the over-the-top app.
So there you go.
It's a positive. A lot of negative, but there's a positive story in there as well.
Yes. One more quick indie note before we jump into WWE. MVP signed a contract with Lucha Underground, and he was fired a week later.
So the story goes... This is a sad story. He signed on to be a wrestler agent for the company. Started a few weeks ago, and a couple weeks ago, he announced, "Yes, I'm working for them." A week later, he is fired because he did a podcast for the MLW Network, and sort of dropped some spoilers for certain characters on the show. Spoke to them, and they revealed some secrets that have not been attributed to their characters just yet. And because he was the host of the podcast, violated the non-disclosure agreement for posting this information, and he was released from his contract. He said to take full responsibility for it, and we'll see where it goes, but yeah, signs with them, and then, well, gets fired.
Oops. One other quick sad note, and we didn't want to lead with this, because we hate to lead with stuff like this, but we have to mention it, because it's another big story of the week, and that is, we lost another one, we're doing a blame Rob on the show, Balls Mahoney has passed away at the age of 44. This is so sad.
It is really, really sad, honestly, because in the span of a few months, we've lost both Axel Rotten and Balls Mahoney. The chair swinging duo is now up in heaven, chair swinging a bunch of wrestlers. Yeah, it sucks. He apparently was watching Jeopardy and got comfortable, relaxed, and that's how it all went down. He apparently had a fall a few days prior. He had just turned 44 or 45. His birthday was on Monday, and then died on Tuesday evening. So, yeah, it's sad, but the best thing, one of the best things for his, in his career, he was able to go to WWE, as part of the ECW. He's been all around the world. Apparently he's a very, very nice, cool guy, but he had one of the best entrance themes in history.
Society, God's gift to ballroom notoriety, and I always fill my ballroom. The event is never small. The social pages say I've got the biggest balls of all. I've got big balls. I've got big balls. They're such big balls, and they're tiny big balls.
And the crowd would sing this song as he would come to the ring.
That's amazing.
Right there, we've got the biggest balls of them all.
Balls Mahoney, Godspeed, sir. There's a giant party in heaven right now.
Yes, there is.
Damn.
With that, the awkward transition continues for this week's...
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
Is he here?
No, I don't think he's not here.
He's not here. He's not listening.
He's not. He may be listening elsewhere, but he's not in our chat room right now. Well,
he's not in our chat room. Okay. All right. We're gonna build to this.
Okay. So first,
I'm not happy about this.
You want me to handle this?
Yes.
Okay. First, it was reported earlier this week that former, or I guess half part-time NXT superstar, Leva Maid, a.k.a. Blue Pants, broke her ankle. Thankfully, she does not need surgery, but she is this week's first.
Hashtag blame Brent.
On the Stone Cold podcast with Enzo Amore and Colin Cassidy, it was revealed that Stone Cold Steve Austin went into WrestleMania with a torn rotator cuff and injured it more when punching Rusev in the face and trying to catch his beer. Steve Austin is very mad at this because now he has injured his drinking arm. So number two on the list for this week's
hashtag blame Brent
is Stone Cold Steve Austin. And now number three. So he threatens this one. He makes threats on this one. And I go to one family dinner and I get all of these messages from random people. Well, not random, but people.
When mostly I get me.
Mostly you and Rob and Omega. Yeah, apparently, Rob's powers are working, rubbing off on you. He's even acknowledging it. This week's third
hashtag blame Brent
is Bray Wyatt.
Damn it! Brent! What the hell? What the hell? No! You are so dead Saturday. So dead. You are gonna have to deal with me. I'm gonna bend you over hard. Damn it. I'm done.
So, Bray Wyatt has suffered some sort of calf injury. It is unknown the severity, but apparently he's been reportedly sent home from the European tour. He got injured on day one of said 2-week injury tour. That's good news that he's being sent home because he'll be able to recover at home other than why staying on the road and not being able to rehab it fully. Hopefully it's not a tear. If it's a tear, it could be months or it could be a few weeks depending on the severity of said injury. If it's just a strain, it could be up to 2 to 4 weeks. I believe a slight tear, grade 1 tear, is 4 to 8 weeks, and then you go onward and upward from there in recovery. WWE has only acknowledged that it is a calf injury, but they have not said how bad the injury is.
Video from the event indicates that he did try to finish the match. He was having trouble walking on it, and it was a freak thing how he did it. He was pushing Roman back, and he stepped funny. People say he slipped. I don't see where he slipped, but he definitely did step funny in a couple places, and then he got Roman into the corner, and he just immediately went down on his knee. He was gripping his leg, and you can see Bray continuing to try to get up. You can see him limping around the ring. The ref's checking on him. He's trying to basically get his leg working again so he can finish the match. And WWE called the match. They would not let him finish. And they took him to the back for further evaluation. This sucks. I'm not going to lie. This completely sucks.
So we had Luke Harper throw a punch and get hurt. Bray Wyatt goes in to just push Roman Reigns into the corner and gets hurt. Two freak injuries to the Wyatt family. And this was after Bray Wyatt had a great showing on Monday Night Raw. The fans were digging him. He was on a roll into a new push of some sort. And then comes up with this injury. It sucks. It's very bad timing. Apparently Europe is very bad, because last year Daniel Bryan, even though he got hurt right before the tour, he was taken off the SmackDown tour last year because of the concussion, which ultimately ended his career. Seth Rollins, on day one of the tour in November, tore his ACL against Kane, and now Bray Wyatt gets injured. This is just another injury on the long, long line of injuries that WWE has suffered in 2016.
And like you said, it's a fortunate thing that he's being sent home. It sucks for him because he's going to miss out on the tour. He's going to miss out on the payday because he was headlining the tour with Roman Reigns. But at least he gets to go home and spend about 2 weeks at home. So there is a chance that he can somewhat recover it before they get back to the States and not miss as much time as what would be previously expected, because, you know, if this was 2 weeks on the regular schedule, well, that hurts him a lot more than 2 weeks, because he's only going to miss one Raw and one SmackDown before they get back. So it's a fortunate thing, and it's an unfortunate thing all at the same time. You know, it sucks for him. I'm devastated, because I don't ever want to see Boo Boo get hurt. But out of curiosity, who was Harper fighting when he got hurt?
I believe his name was Roman Reigns.
It's the curse of Roman Reigns, y'all.
He was
punching. The curse of Roman Reigns.
He was punching Roman Reigns in the corner. Bray pushed Roman into a corner. Yep, Roman Reigns.
It's a curse. And what was Rollins getting ready to do when he got hurt?
Scheduled to face Roman Reigns for the WWE Championship at Survivor Series.
Not trying to point fingers, but
she's pointing a big old finger.
It's a pretty big coinky dink, if you ask me. No, I'm kidding. Totally not blaming Roman for this at all, but it's just, it feels like it's the curse of the injuries.
No, we're not blaming Roman. We are.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Yes, we are blaming Brent. We are blaming Brent hard for this. Brent is very lucky he does not live in the same state or even the same side as the country as me. You are so lucky I moved out of Utah, because Arizona is not that far.
So hopefully Bray Wyatt is able to recover and get back on the road at some point. Hopefully he's not out too long. As mentioned, he is in line for a big push this summer.
Yes.
Now, staying on the European side of things, Dead Man is actually going to show up for two shows.
Yes, originally The Undertaker was on the tour, then he was completely off the tour after WrestleMania, saying that he had wrestled his last match, and now he's back on the tour again. He's scheduled to appear on 419 in London, which are the SmackDown tapings, and he will be doing the Newcastle show on April 20th. 420, y'all! So, if you had planned to go see The Undertaker, those are the two dates he will be showing up. All the other dates, he is not scheduled to appear.
I believe Kane will be filling his spot on those dates.
Yes. And speaking of filling spots, WWE has signed 10 brand new developmental talents to the Performance Center.
Yeah, they have. They've brought in some new fresh blood to the Performance Center. And the one thing Lindsay was looking for is what?
I was looking for bearded men to be possible Wyatts. Don't judge me.
Because that's what she does. She's looking for a new talent. If I started to pronounce some of these names, I'm going to butcher them, so you can go to www.com and check them out. One is a SEC track and field champion. One was a Greco-Roman wrestler. One was a bikini and bodybuilding model. One is American Premier. One trained in American Premier Wrestling, and has a background as a member of the U.S. Marine Corps. She's going to be tough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one's a Division III wrestler. One tried out for Tough Enough, but missed out. So they have a bunch of different talent that are going to be signing up for the Performance Center, and you'll see where they go. One of them was a big indie star. She went by the name of Nikki Storm. A lot of female talent are happy that she has arrived in the company.
Yes.
So there you go.
Speaking of also filling spaces, Total Divas was announced, and the Season 6 cast is going to be seeing some definite changes. Alicia Fox, Rosa Mendez, and Mandy have all been removed from the show, and added to our Total Divas will be Naomi. She makes her triumphant return. Woohoo!
About damn time.
I missed her so much. Lana, Renee Young, and the new returning Mrs. Miz, Maryse.
I'm excited for Maryse.
I'm super excited for Maryse.
I am overexcited for Renee Young being on Total Divas for many reasons.
None of which we can really voice on this show.
No, many reasons. Makes me laugh hysterically. And Lana and Rusev. That should be a fun duo on the show.
I'm curious to know if Lana's going to talk with the accent or not.
If she does, it'll be amazing. But if not, I'll be okay.
I'll be okay with that. But yeah, so it should be a fun season of Total Divas as we go into season 6. Side note, there is the potential that the Bellas could be getting their own spinoff series, Total Bellas, which makes sense as Brie moves on in her life and she and Brian are going to start having children, so she will not be on the road anymore.
Yeah, people found out that they filed for the trademark Total Bellas, which had was tied into the reality show, which is why people are speculating, and so, as we are, that there could be possibly a spinoff for the Bellas. And we've speculated on the Rack Extra Total Divas in the past, and on this show, that there could be a chance the Bellas get their own show at some point. And I'm okay with this.
I'm okay with it, too, because, as I was saying, it's like Brie's not going to be on the road anymore. Nikki's entire future is in the air with her neck. There are rumors swirling that she's potentially done. It's been stated that she already cannot work a full-time schedule, and which means she's going part-time, and given Nikki's sort of propensity for wrestling, she's not going to want to work part-time. It's either all or nothing for her.
This is very, very true.
So it could be that Nikki decides to retire and walk away, and at that point, then you can do Nikki and Brie and their crazy, crazy lives, and they go off and they do their things, and then you have Total Divas if it continues on without the Bella Twins with other divas for cast members, or I should say, superstars.
Women
in the cast.
Yes. A quick note, Seth Rollins has signed on to star alongside Wesley Snipes in the movie Temple.
Speaking of
uber divas, yes. So good to see Seth Rollins while he rehabs, gets to film a movie.
Yay, that should be fun.
That should be a lot of fun. We have a question on the Twitter before we go to break, because I know we're about to go to break.
Mm-hmm.
Alex McNabb wants to know, thought on Barrett, most underused person in WWE for a while, leaving, and where you think he will end up?
He's going to Hollywood.
My gut says he's off to Hollywood. He got the bug while filming the movie he did, and I bet you he takes a break for a while. I could see him doing some indies, but I expect him to try to get some work in Hollyweird.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I don't blame Barrett for leaving at all. As you said, he is underutilized, and I think that's just partially due to the fact that they're nervous of doing any type of push with him at this point, because every time they do try to push Barrett, he gets injured. He's injury prone. He has one of those bad luck curses on him, and it's unfortunate. And so it's at this point, they're just really not willing to put the time and the energy into him, especially given the fact that they have all the talent coming up from NXT. So it makes sense for Barrett to leave and go on and take a break and do other things. And there's always a chance that Wade Barrett can come back. He's not leaving on bad terms with the company. He's just not re-signing his contract. So he can go off, he can do his whole whatever he wants. For a while, he's probably going to go home to England and visit with family and friends, because I imagine he hasn't been home in a while, and for any extended period of time, and just, do whatever.
Yeah, and be jealous of his boy Sheamus, because Sheamus is going to be in the Turtles movie.
Yeah. As Rocksteady.
Yeah, so there you go. Well, with that, I say we take a break and come back with some NXT.
I say we do the same, so when we come back, as he said, we will be talking all things NXT. You don't want to miss it. So you're listening to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com. We'll be right back. Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra.
weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply thebomb.com.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett, the king of the mountain and founder of Global Force Wrestling. And you're listening to Rack Radio Show.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And a very fine hello over to the people listening to us at Gerwick.net. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, and everybody over at WildTalkRadio.com. We can't forget about you. And that music, the one, the only, the hey, we want some Bailey. That means one thing, we are talking NXT. And I took notes on this one, so we do not have extensive notes on this, because basically it's my crappy, joking commentary of this show. Because it was a good show. It was a really good show, but if you ever watch wrestling with me, you know I don't take it seriously at all. I make jokes, I make sexual innuendo, I say every stupid thing that comes into my head when I watch wrestling. And it's reflected in my notes of NXT.
Yeah, this is her, and I'll throw my jabs, because I sent her my notes as I was watching it earlier. So, here we go.
So, here we go. NXT opens with William Regal. He thanks the fans for Dallas. He said it was an incredible experience. It was a great night for NXT. We saw many fabulous matches, including Bayley versus Asuka, Balor versus Joe, Nakamura versus Zayn. The list goes on and on and on, and he's super grateful. And it's basically just a thank you to everybody for Dallas.
Pretty much. Now, we're going to get into the first matchup here in a second. I want to point out just an overall view of when we get into the building. This does not look like, oh, hey, we're in a convention center, and there's, like, not a full building. There's only a couple of times during the whole show you actually see the back end of the building. And number two, you can tell a little bit on the sound a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
Just on the openness of the building. That said, when you look at it, it looks like the NXT arena.
Yeah, they put a lot of time and effort into making this look like Full Sail without it actually being Full Sail. They really did a nice job with this.
The only way you knew is because of the hard camera was facing the entrance. That's it.
Yeah. And the entrance was actually really nice. I really liked the way that they did the entrance. It was double-sided, and they had a curved sort of screen in front of it. Mm-hmm. So the wrestler stepped out from behind the curved screen, but it was a video screen. And then you had just the regular NXT screens behind it. But yeah, I mean, I think they did a really nice job on the set. And like I said, there was some time and some effort and some money put into that. This wasn't just, oh, hey, the indie guys and girls were going to shoot the show at Access. Because that's where they shot this.
Yeah.
It was at Access.
And you couldn't tell except for two quick seconds. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, they did a wonderful, wonderful job for this. So kudos to WWE, to everybody down at NXT. Y'all did awesome.
So what was the opening match?
So our opening contest of the evening was A-double Austin Aries taking on Angelo Dawkins.
Okay, so couple things. Angelo Dawkins, the man of two headbands, is now calling himself the Curse of Greatness. That's lame. Especially for a guy who does nothing more than the J-O-B.
Yeah, I gotta agree. The Curse of Greatness? I mean, honestly, that sounds like something I would name my period. Let's just be honest. So, you know...
Oh, God. Yeah.
What? You want me to be honest? I'll be honest. It's a bad name. Like, why would you associate greatness with a curse? The Curse of Greatness. What? How is the Curse of Greatness a good thing?
The only good curses appear on Once Upon a Time, and even those are bad for the people involved.
There are no good curses on Once Upon a Time.
For storytelling? For storytelling, they are.
For storytelling purposes, yes, but they're usually bad.
I said for the people involved, they're bad. For us, the viewer, it's great.
Curses, the word curse carries a negative connotation, y'all. So, yeah, it's come up with a new catchphrase, honey. I know you're working on it, but come up with a new catchphrase. The Curse of Greatness, no. Just no.
No, no. Go get your backpack back, because that was a little bit better than this.
Poor Angelo Dawkins, he's just...
He's struggling.
He's struggling, man.
Aries struggled a little bit with him as well, but it was a decent match.
As I put, there was some flippy stuff. There was some punching, and Dawkins running his mat.
And then Aries hit the running forearm for the win.
Yes, so your winner, Austin Aries. I mean, it was a good match. It was a good opening match. They kind of had to feel each other out, but they did a nice job with it.
It was fine. It was passable.
Next up, we had Samoa Joe backstage. He did an interview. Basically, he's on the warpath. He is slightly upset about losing to Finn Balor, but that's okay because he's going to come back for Balor at some point. In the meantime, he just plans on murdering people.
Nothing's changed.
Nothing out of the ordinary for Joe.
By the way, there's a nasty, nasty cut above his eye.
Yeah, there is. Balor got a piece of him.
Oh, one more thing. I get it because I'm scrolling through the thing. Common. Dawkins. Don't do the little thing where you're trying to mix a bowl. Look stupid. You look very stupid trying to mix a bowl. If your greatness is cooking, then go be a cook. But mixing the bowl is stupid. All right, continue.
All right. We go back to ringside where we have our women's contest of the... Or one of our women's contests, because there was actually two. Very exciting. We see the evil sparkle fairy, Alexa Bliss, taking on Tessa Blanchard.
This was actually very good.
This was really good. Alexa is owning her heelness, and I love it.
Okay. Tom Phillips in commentary basically mentioned that Alexa Bliss has resting bitch face.
Yes, she does. And she does it very well.
She does it very, very well. He mentioned it. I was amused. Tess Blanchard was very impressive in this matchup. They should sign her to a contract because she was actually pretty good in this one. Alexa Bliss is coming into her own. She carried herself well, and she did not need Blake and Murphy to do so. She stood on her own. She was impressive. Alexa's becoming the veteran of the group right now. Once Bayley leaves, she'll become the long-reigning NXT female on the roster because Asuka's not NXT. She only came over to NXT.
Yeah, but... Yeah, I mean, Alexa was very, very impressive with this. I would not be surprised if Tessa doesn't get signed. She should get signed. This was a great, great match. If you go back and watch the show, watch this match. As he said, Alexa won.
Okay, one other note. There was a spot where Alexa grabbed her by the throat and pushed her down. If she had a little bit of upper body strength, because I know she does a little bit, she should do a choke slam.
She's too short.
But it would make it even more impressive. On some of the little girls, she could do it. It would look great. It's just me. It's just me.
I know.
Because she does, the eyes bulge, and it's like, there's the monster inside her, and there's the evil. She could just slam them down. Perfect. Or just, I don't know, do something more than just push them down. A little bit stronger. That's it.
She's probably working on that.
Oh, she is, but she had those evil eyes on point.
Oh, God, did she have the eyes?
They were on point.
She looked ready to murder somebody at one point. It's like, okay, go, Alexa, go.
Mm-hmm. All right, what's next?
We have Finn Balor backstage. He talks about Dallas. He says that Joe was a tough competitor, but he was the better man that night. He's excited to see who gets named the new number one contender. He's welcome to all comers. And well, as for Shinsuke Nakamura, because he does get asked about the man since he's debuting tonight on TV, Finn's basically a fanboy. He loves Shinsuke's work. very admires him a lot, but he also knows that Shinsuke's there for one thing, and that's Finn's title, and he's looking forward to them clashing at some point. Book it now! Give it to me! Balor versus Nakamura? Yes! Do it! Please, Hunter. Please, we can have. My birthday's in less than a month. Please? Please? Maybe? It's on a Monday. It could be on a Raw. I'd be okay with that. Just pointing that out.
I can't add anything.
This is why I shouldn't watch wrestling. At all. This is right here.
No, you're good. Keep going.
This is me watching wrestling, y'all. This is the full experience right here.
No, it's not. No.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Anyway, continue on. What's next?
Up next, we see Ciampa and Gargano taking on the VOD villains.
Commentary proved that Ciampa and Gargano have completely signed because they're actually putting them over more than they normally do. This was a very good tag team match, the best match I've seen in a long time from the VOD villains. Surprised they actually lost. The commentary is playing up how this could be momentum killer as they were going to have the match on SmackDown. I like how they were trying to connect the stories, which is good. This was a good match. Gargano and Ciampa picked up the win.
Yeah, I think this was the VOD villains, one of their farewell matches, if not the farewell match to NXT as they head up to the main roster. Ciampa and Gargano looked very impressive. I liked the disarm bar at the end.
It's just an arm bar. It's just an arm bar, not disarm her.
But I want to call it the disarm bar.
Okay.
It's the disarm bar.
Okay.
It has a name! But no, VOD villains look great. They're on their way up to the main roster. They're now in the semifinals of the tag team tournament, so I would suspect that this is one of their last appearances in NXT for a while.
Believe so.
Believe that. Backstage, we see Ty Dillinger. He's working on his tenderness, aka he's fixing his hair. Ford walks up to him and asks him all about Shinsuke Nakamura. He basically puts Nakamura over, but he says that, well, he's going to send Nakamura home in shame because Nakamura is going to find out what it's like to lose to a 10. And then he gives the reporter, I think it was Rich Brennan.
No. Alex something or other.
Yeah, I forget the guy's name. He says he's a 3.
3.
That hurts. Up next, we have Tucker Knight, who I've decided is the incestuous love child of the Wyatt love child and Luke Harper.
He is very, very sparkly. He had a lot of sequins.
Yes, he did.
His best yes. That's a lot of sequins for one man.
And if you're new to this show, the Wyatt love child is Bold MC.
Who is no longer with us.
He's back out on the indies, but my affectionate pet name for Bold MC was the Wyatt love child because he honestly looked like the love child of Bray Wyatt and Luke Harper. And Tucker looks like the love child of Bold MC and Luke Harper. So there you go. Yay, incest. It's an awesome thing. Not really.
So who do you take on?
He took on Broody McBroodster himself, Baron Corbin.
This was a struggle. Corbin wins.
Yeah, basically, yeah. It was short, it was sweet, it was hard to watch.
Corbin send-off.
Yeah, Corbin send-off from NXT, so he's now up on the main roster as well. So, thank you, Tucker! Thanks for coming!
Less sequins.
Yes. We have a in-building segment where basically American Alpha is standing in the stadium where they won the tag team titles at TakeOver. They're talking about all the great bands that have played there, all the history of the building. They're basically reveling in their victory. But who should walk up but Enzo and Cass? They congratulate American Alpha on their victory. They're not exactly happy that they're not the champions, but they're happy that Revival are no longer the tag team champions. And, well, this is going to be Enzo and Cass's send-off because they say we've beaten everybody in NXT. We've been here a long time, but we've never beaten you. And so American Alpha and Enzo and Cass make the match happen. And so next week on NXT, we're going to see Enzo and Cass take on American Alpha for old time's sake. This is not a title defense.
I believe
so. Just so everybody's clear.
Yeah, I believe so. Yes.
Yeah, they said it wasn't going to be, you know, when they were doing the promo, they said it wasn't, you know, they don't have to put the titles up. They just want the match. It doesn't make sense to have them go for the titles. But yeah, so Enzo and Cass's send-off next week. Everybody get your tissues ready because I know I'm going to cry. After this, we get our second women's contest of the night where we have Represent Liv Morgan taking on Bayley.
This was a solid match, Bayley showcase. The fans were into it. They were chanting for Bayley the entire time. It was awesome. Bayley picked up the win with the Bayley to Belly. The fans popped for it, as they always do. Liv Morgan held her own. She was very happy to get in the ring with her. Yeah, So there you go.
The real story coming out of this match is what happened after the match. Basically, Bayley says Asuka was a really tough competitor. She puts her over. And she says that that night, Asuka was the better woman. But that doesn't mean that she's always going to be the better woman. Bayley says that what defines a champion is not how many times you get knocked down, but how many times you get back up. And Bayley promises to go for her title once again and continue her reign as women's champion in NXT. It's very kind of almost, I called it Cena-esque because I really didn't know what else to call it, but you got that same feeling from it.
Takeover has come and gone, but I'm still standing and I will always stand for all of you, including little girls like the girl who is dressed as Bayley that they pointed out in the crowd.
Yeah.
Then you had the all moment of the night.
Yeah, Bayley walks over to Izzy and hugs Izzy and makes sure Izzy is okay, which we were all... I know I was. I was super happy to see that Izzy was in fact okay, because if you watch TakeOver and you were on any kind of social media after TakeOver, they were talking about what happened after Bayley lost, because Izzy was in the building. She was at the show when Bayley lost, and apparently she was so upset she had to be carried out of the building.
Yeah, yeah.
So Bayley went over to her when they did the tapings and checked on her and hugged her and made sure she was okay. And then she left. It was like, oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, it was great.
It was so cute. Please, WWE, for the love of Christ, do not screw Bayley up. Please don't. Don't do anything stupid with her. Just, she's perfect just the way she is.
Yes, she is.
And finally, we get to our main event of the evening, a highly entertaining contest between Ty Dillinger and Shinsuke Nakamura.
He's an 11. He's an 11. This is great. This is fun. Shinsuke's a lot of fun. He's changing his style a little bit in NXT, but it was a lot of fun.
He and Ty had to feel each other out a little bit, but once they did, they got going. There were a lot of mind games. There was a lot of, you know, basically back and forth between Ty and Nakamura where they were screwing with each other. It was just, I really enjoyed this match because it was a lot of fun, because you could tell Nakamura was having fun with it.
Nakamura did the 10 back to him.
Yeah.
Great.
And they teased Nakamura's kicks. They teased him stomping. You know, it's, and you can tell he's adjusting his style. He's working on not being as stiff. He's trying to find that happy medium between strong style and WWE style. And I think he's getting there.
This is the second match on TV. That's great. It was fun. Shinsuke's fun.
I actually kind of want another one of these because it was so much fun.
Yeah.
And that's the best way to describe it. I don't have another word to describe it, but it just the chemistry between Dillinger and Nakamura, where it's these two, you know, almost ego-driven men, because I don't want to call Nakamura that, but he's got an ego on him, and they're just screwing with each other.
Mm-hmm.
It was just great. It was absolutely great. So, solid showing for NXT coming out of TakeOver Dallas. We now move forward to the next network special for them, which I think is in June?
Yep,
July?
And June, I believe. And next week, we get the tag match, and I believe No Way Jose.
Oh, that's going to be fun. Because No Way Jose, hey! I don't know, I got nothing. So, we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we're going to be doing Tweet of the Week, and well, we have Rock's discussion topic, which, how do you want to describe it?
Interesting.
Interesting. We have Rock's interesting discussion topic, so you don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We will be right back.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air? Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR wherever you are.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
The first award was crowd participation. Your choices were Fandangoing, yes, let's go Cena, Cena sucks, and what's up? Sub, what's your pick?
I think I picked Cena sucks.
No, you didn't.
Okay. You're great.
Great. I love these picks.
Sup, you picked yes, yes, yes.
Oh, yeah. Daniel O'Brien.
Yeah.
why didn't I hear that? You didn't say that.
Yes, I did.
Said it. Yes, yes, yes.
And that was the one that won. Got that right.
Sure. Holy shit.
But because you changed your pick.
No, I didn't hear the option of Daniel Bryan yet, just yet. The guy's magical. He's a magical little guy.
The LOL moment of the year. Your choices were the Great Khali and Jinder Mahal try to snake charm Santino's Cobra.
You know, when you say it like that, that sounds so wrong.
I know. So
I'm going to say I went with the first one where they try to tame the Cobra.
No, no, you didn't.
What did he say?
He said he took the snake charmer. No.
Ah!
No.
Well, see, that's what I figured I would go with.
That's what Rob picked. You picked Titus O'Neil throwing up. You were wrong. It was the Rock concert.
Jesus, that was way off there.
Insult of the year. Sub.
Fuck, I have no idea what I went with. I'm going to go with the Big Show and Stephanie.
Congratulations. You picked the winning one. Today.
Yeah.
Today.
Can I trade in the ones when I like get them all swap them? Can I trade two of them in for a win?
Diva of the year.
I'll go with the Funkadactyl chick. No, because I know it was AJ Lee. Do I want to win now?
Hold on.
Or do I stick to my gun?
So which one are you picking?
Funkadactyl.
All right, so you picked AJ last week. You picked the Funkadactyls this week. Ace and Crispy picked AJ. That's all wrong. Rob picked the Bella Twins, and the Bella Twins won the award.
Suck it, bitches.
When you calculate everyone's picks, CB Radio and WTR picks. Subway, you were 500. You were 4-4. You did the best out of everybody.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Wait.
Down.
I think my head just exploded. I'm done. I'm
seeing something disconnected from my brain. I ain't taking calls. I came to kick ass tonight.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns.
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moments.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw. It was me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. And you guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28. But I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got fired!
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com, and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted the fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess beggars can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop motion wrestling action figure needs. And a fine hello over to the folks at Gerwick.net. Thank you so much for listening to us there. And of course, WildTalkRadio.com. Can't forget about that. And now we're going to do Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Alrighty. Let me scroll all the way down here. So, Sasha Banks. Can't wait to see the VOD villains tonight on SmackDown. And she tweets, Drama King, Aiden English, and Simon Gotch, to which Simon Gotch sends a gif that says, like a boss. Kevin Owens, somebody tweets him and goes, girlfriend just told me she can't stand Fight Owens' fight, pretty sure our relationship just died, and he replies, she sounds awful. James Moore tweets Kevin Owens and says, I stubbed my toe, can I have some words of spite and disdain, please? And Kevin replies, watch where you're going, you idiot, that's a perfectly good table, slash chair, slash dresser, slash piano, slash turtle you just kicked. Mitch 1889 tweets Kevin Owens and goes, my girlfriend thinks you're, Y-O-U-R, funny. And Kevin replies, does she think your inability to choose, to correctly choose between your and your is funny as well? Grammar. It's important. Mm-hmm. Justin Moore again tweets Kevin Owens and goes, if you're going to be at the live event May 14th here in Roanoke, Virginia, then I'm not going. And Kevin goes, well, if you're not going, then I'm not going. And then somebody tweeted, BW tweets Kevin Owens and goes, my son made this video of you beating Shawn Michaels, and it's a cute little stop motion video of Kevin Owens' action figure beating Shawn Michaels' action figure. And Kevin goes, I appreciate it, but that's sacrilegious. Tell him to just have me beat Zayn and Cena over and over again instead, especially Zayn. Nathan Delir goes, my girl just dumped me. Could you please give me words of spite to make me feel worse, please? And he goes, she was right. And finally, Tommy Dreamer. Dear Bailey, you are now on the pile driver list. Thanks, WWE Network, Edge, Christian, WWE, hashtag the ENC show, my extreme hugging.
She's hugcore. She's hugcore. She's hugcore.
She's hugcore, yeah. Awesome.
Is that it?
Hugs come in many forms.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Yes, that's it.
All right, reporter named Jillian Mealy tweets, you know what's really awesome? When a bottle of nail polish explodes in your purse. Has that ever happened for you?
Oh, God, that sucks.
Okay. Someone replied, another producer replied to her, appreciate the stench you left in the newsroom. I can't find my car in the parking lot. I've been high since 10:30 a.m.
Yep. Dude, you should go in a mail shop.
She replied, LOL, my bad. The color looks great on my nails, though. Not SportsCenter. Report. Fans who attended Kobe Bryant's last game will all receive a Cremona purple and gold brick in honor of Kobe's career as a Laker. Ouch. That was an amazing game, by the way. If you didn't watch the game last night, it was an amazing basketball game, Kobe's final game. Alright, Lance Storm tweets, so is Shane back in Vince's will too? Hashtag Raw. Shane Helms goes, I hope I am. Oh, that Shane. Got it. Keep it 5-star. Shane McMahon on Raw. You're not screwing that kid over again. Hit the lockers. Kevin Owens, ... I'm telling Hunter. Storms off. Keep it 5-star. Enzo and Raw. This is Big Cass, and he's 7 feet tall, and you can't teach that. And at home is Carmella.
Ouch.
Kayfabe news. I'm not a good guy. I'm not a bad guy. I'm not an interesting guy. I'm not a popular guy. I'm not a Paul Heyman guy. Talk about one. Roman Reigns. Three-man booth. Wait, did Natty just try to do sharpshooter Charlotte's arm? That's what they call every submission in the Hart household. Hashtag Raw. WWE creative-ish. I'm not a good guy or a bad guy, says Roman Reigns. I'm not a good or bad guy, says Bray Wyatt. Did we just become friends?
Totally did.
Three-man booth. This just proves that Dr. Phil's more ineffective than Dr. Shelby. Dr. Shelby 1, Dr. Phil 0. Hashtag Raw.
Damn right.
Three-man booth. The doctors that would have done more than Dr. Phil. Dr. Ken, Dr. Shelby, Dr. Yankum, Dr. Stevie, Dr. Thugonomics, Dr. Death, Xavier Woods. Three-man booth. Plant down! Plant down! Hashtag Raw. Someone tweets, so are Primo and Epico evil tour guide operators? Hashtag Raw. Lance Storm replies, if they start trying to convince people to book on Air Canada, then we'll know for sure. WWE creative-ish. If the babyface gets tagged in and the crowd boos him, does it still count as a hot tag?
Maybe.
Three-man booth. Strowman and Roman are like the APA of the Wyatt family.
We're gonna find out, because they don't have anybody watching them anymore.
Yeah, keep it 5-star. The Wyatts attack Rusev on Raw. Meanwhile, Luke Harper attacks Barrett at his house. Barrett, I'm not in the group anymore.
Dude, Harper's gotta be able to walk to do that. I'm pretty sure he can't.
Well, he'll strap it up. He's good. Adam Rose, if anyone needed some time with Dr. Phil, it was real Curtis Axel. Anger management issues. Axel tweets, shut the hell up, Adam. So Mickey James shares a conversation between herself and Gregory Helms. There's a picture of Tony Romo saying, he's back in the hospital with a reply, LOL, Dick. Emoticons laughing. And then a picture of Happy Dallas Cowboys Day. 4-12.
Yes.
Kevin Owens. The headlock master is out in full force on this week's episode of WWE Main Event. Check it out on Hulu and then block someone on Twitter. Fake Sports Center. The Panthers and Broncos will meet in the NFL for next year's NFL season opener. Mark Sanchez can't wait to show Cam the proper way to fumble a ball. Fake ESPN. The NFL season opener is the Super Bowl for the match rematch. This gives Cam Newton 5 months to practice how to jump on a fumble. Fake ESPN. The NFL just released the 2016 schedule, and the Browns have already finished last place in their division. And finally, Dale Jr.'s beard. They found the new Dallas Cowboys schedule for the 2016-2017 schedule. Are you ready?
I'm ready if you're ready.
All right, week one, they faced choke. Week two is a blowout. Three is disastrous loss. Week four, they somehow win. Week five, it's a blowout. Week six is a loss. Bye, but yet they still lose. Week eight, they choke. Week 9, fumble fest. Week 10, it's an interception party. Week 11, Romo gets injured. Week 12, pick 6 party. Week 13, blowout. Week 14, lose. Signs felon. Week 15, loss. Week 16, choke. Week 17, choke. That's the 2016-17 schedule for your Dallas Cowboys.
Wait. Who do they manage to beat?
Whoever they play in week 6. In week 4, rather. Week 4.
Oh, well, it's Kaepernick and the 49ers. Of course they're going to figure out how to win.
Yeah. Did you legit look at their schedule?
Yeah, I'm still legit looking at their schedule.
So they beat the 49ers, so they go 1-15. All right.
Well, to be fair, in week 8, they're facing the Browns.
Which they have as a choke.
Wow, they have a really easy schedule.
Yeah, I read something earlier where they have one of the easiest schedules in the league.
They're facing the Giants, the Redskins, the Bears, the 49ers, the Bengals, the Packers, the Eagles, the Browns, the Steelers, the Ravens, and the Vikings.
It's what happens when you finish third place.
That's a really easy schedule. If they choke with that easy of a schedule, there ain't no excuses. I'm sorry. There's none. You hear me, Brent? You hear the sound of my voice? If they somehow do not get to the playoffs with this schedule, they have no one to blame but themselves and Tony Romo. Just saying.
By the way, it's on. Me and you, it's on.
I'm getting the Crisco, man. I'm getting the Crisco. Falcons versus Eagles, 2016. When are they playing? Is it a Monday or is it a Thursday?
It's a Sunday.
Oh, shit. Well, I'll still get my Crisco. I just can't fry Eagle on the air. Damn it.
We'll pre-tape that. we'll pre-tape that one. That, I believe, is on November 13th.
I think so, yes.
Yes, mark it down, people. Mark it down. November 13th, that's going to be a Twitter war.
Yeah, because the Eagles are playing the Cowboys on the 30th of October.
And on New Year's Day.
And on New Year's Day.
Start the new year off right with some Eagles-Cowboys.
Oh, the amount of shit that's going to get just thrown. Oh, I can't wait.
All right, so now we're going to transition out to Tweet of the Week. As always, follow us on Twitter, at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lynn's Word. Plug that again here in a little bit. So I was reading an article, and they were talking about wrestling. A wrestling fan wrote an article, because we're all wrestling fans. And they were talking about how this era compares to the Attitude Era, and how they would like to see certain things happen. And it got me just thinking, one, we need to stop living in the Attitude Era of things, because, let's face it, that's 20 years ago, and we've created a lot more stars since the Attitude Era, if you all realize that. People can kind of forget the whole 2002 to 2004 period where they created a bunch of stars. You know, Randy Orton, John Cena, Batista, Edge,
just
to name a few. You had Eddie Guerrero's and the Rey Mysterio's. And, like, okay. So, maybe, and part of the article is like, we need to stop pushing Roman Reigns to the moon, okay? That's what wrestling fans like to do. Don't push Roman. Don't push Roman. Let's push this wrestler. This guy right here, okay? This is wrestling fan logic. Don't push the Roman. Push this guy. Push Dean Ambrose. Push, you know. We're like, you know, you should use this guy. We're guilty of it. It's like, but we're accepting of Roman. It's WWE. It's their product. You let them do it. But once they will push someone else, if Dean Ambrose is in Roman Reigns' spot, the Roman Reigns fans will go, look, they shouldn't be pushing him. They should be pushing Roman. So the wrestling fan logic is put someone else there, and then we'll complain about that guy. It's what people do. And then there's this one thing that sort of bugged me, is like, in this whole article, is like, they should also, instead of closing with the WWE title because it's disastrous on Roman, we should close with another championship, like the Intercontinental title or something. Okay. You all complained, every single one of you on the internet, when CM Punk was the WWE champion, why he wasn't closing the show compared to Alexa John Cena. You can't have it both ways, people. Sorry. This is not how this wrestling thing goes on the internet. It has to go one way. You can't have it every way you like. Because they don't book for us. They book for the international people. They book for the 50-year-olds, the 30-year-olds, the 20-year-olds, the 10-year-olds. They book for everyone.
I think my favorite argument about this whole thing is, well, WWE should just listen to the internet. We know what's best. Okay, which website do you want them to go to? What opinion do you want them to have or take? Because opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one, especially about WWE and about wrestling. There's no way that they can collect every single opinion and find the common denominator. They just don't have the time to do that. They do focus groups, and they're trying to basically book for a broader audience. You know, I hate to break it to you, but Roman Reigns isn't being marketed to you. He's being marketed to young families. He's being marketed to the kids. He said as much. That's why he's there, is he's there for the kids.
He is.
That's the character that they're trying to sell, is he's trying to be the role model and the stand-up good guy character for the kids. That's why he's there. So, of course, it's not going to appeal to adults, necessarily. It does in some cases, but not to everybody, because it's, oh, well, you know, it's not targeted to us. You know, guys like Dean Ambrose, yeah, they're more targeted to adults, because they need someone to pull in that adult demographic, but guys like Cena, guys like Reigns, you know, the list goes on. There's certain people targeted for certain markets.
They're building the next version of us.
Basically, that's what they're doing. And I'm so sick of everybody comparing everything to the Attitude Era. Yeah, the Attitude Era was fine. It was good. It made a lot of stars. The most nostalgic people get about the Attitude Era is the Monday Night War and what that spawned. Because it was really the perfect storm in wrestling, but the Attitude Era's had its day. It's just like the 80s. The 80s had their day. It was a wonderful time. But we can't keep looking back. We can't go back to that. WWE is evolving. Like it or not, WWE is evolving. Okay, we talked about TNA on this show, right? Mm-hmm. Talked about it at the beginning, and I'm going to tie this in. TNA is doing a more Attitude Era-esque style show, at least based on the last time I watched it, which I will admit it has been a while. Simply because I never know when it's on anymore. And I'm usually doing other things when it's on.
We're usually doing the Rack Extra, Total Divas.
Yeah. There you go. So TNA has a much more violent product. It's much more racy. They use questionable language, questionable innuendo, all of that stuff. They do a much more Attitude Era-esque style product. They're having a hard time finding sponsors. They're having a hard time selling ad space. You think that's a coincidence? Advertisers, especially national advertisers, are not interested in advertising with someone who has a questionable product because everybody is in the same boat. They're all trying to make money and they're all trying to market to families who want something to have a good, clean image, something that's semi-wholesome. WWE is far from wholesome, but it's way closer than what it was when I started watching and when you started watching.
Yes.
So it's kind of one of those things where it's like, yes, it is not marketed to you, but they're ever evolving. They're becoming a more family product because they're trying to stay in business. They understand that while the Attitude Era was great, they can't stay in the Attitude Era because they're not going to make money. And that's the ultimate goal. WWE has to turn a profit to stay in business. Otherwise, they go out and then, hey, the Attitude Era, there is no WWE Network. There are maybe DVDs of it, and that's it. But otherwise, it's film that sits in a vault and collects dust, and you never see it again except for what's on YouTube. I mean, that's it. So it's like, you can learn lessons, but I mean, if you actually look back at the Attitude Era, it's like you had your great moments. Austin and Rock, Triple H and The Rock, you know, just Austin McMahon.
You had great moments. You had great top feuds. They were great. But if you look at some of the undercard, and this is no disrespect to the talent involved, but they weren't high-level talent, and they weren't the greatest of storylines. Are we clamoring for the Disciples of Apocalypse to return? Are we really clamoring for the Headbangers? No, I don't think we are.
I have three words for you. Kennel from hell.
That happened in the Attitude Era. Do we want that? Do we want Pep?
No.
Do we want Al Snow feeding someone a dog? Because that happened in the Attitude Era.
I thought Bossman fed Al Snow the dog.
Okay, well, Bossman fell and fed, whatever. Point being, they were feeding dogs to people. It was, yep, Al Snow's dog that was being fed to Al Snow. That's what my point was.
Yeah, copious amounts of nudity. I mean, everybody proclaims that, you know, right now the women's revolution, because they're no longer divas, the women's revolution, everybody is applauding it. We go back to the Attitude Era. That's non-existent. You had, and this is no disrespect to Sable, but you had Sable running around with basically handprints on her tits.
Legit. And well, there was nothing wrong with it back then, because that was the era back then. We're in a different era in society now. Things change.
I mean, can WWE be a little bit more racy? Yes. And they're getting more racy again. You're starting to see more profanity get introduced back into the product. You're seeing it get a little bit more violent. You're seeing the matches becoming more real, whereas before, or at least real looking, whereas before, probably a few years ago, maybe upwards of 3 to 5, the matches were very safe. It was very bubblegum, and it was a little hard to watch because they went uber PG. And now they're trying to find that medium between PG and PG-13, where they don't get that PG-13 rating, but they can still appeal to a wider audience, because that's what they have to do. They have to appeal to a widespread audience. And that's incredibly difficult to do.
And the Attitude Era was simple, because you had a demographic, 18 to 49 male, that was your demographic.
Now they're trying to appeal to families, they're trying to appeal to women, they're trying to appeal to the kids. And they're trying to appeal to that 18 to 49 demographic. So I'm sorry to burst your bubble, y'all, but it's not just you. It's everybody out there. And you know who tested really high in the focus groups? Roman Reigns, John Cena, AJ Styles. These are the guys that are testing high. Dean Ambrose tested high, but not as high as Reigns. Owens didn't even make the list, which isn't surprising because Owens is a heel. None of the heels made the list. But for the face focus groups, Roman Reigns was on the top. So guess what? That's who they're going to push. And that's just the way it is. And you know what? Honestly, I have a little bit of a problem with people saying, oh, well, Roman's reign is disastrous. Roman has had the belt for less than 2 weeks. And his reigns before that really don't even count. Because one was 5 minutes and the other one was, what, a month? Maybe?
6 weeks.
6 weeks?
Because there was the holiday.
So, I mean, you can't even really count that because part of that was Christmas. This is his first real test of champion. As a champion, he's going on the road with the title. He's in Europe right now. He's going to have a lengthy reign, probably to at least Survivor Series, or not Survivor Series, SummerSlam. So this is his real test as champion. So to go ahead and condemn it, really before it even starts, I don't think that's exactly fair.
And for his run, look who's being elevated. Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, and
AJ Styles.
You know, we said this before. We've harped on this point for weeks on this show. Until Roman gets built, no one else will get built. Guess what? Roman's built. Everyone else is about to rise. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Get on board for the ride. It's going to be fun the next few months. Just watch.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know what? Sit back, enjoy the ride. Wrestling is supposed to be fun. So have fun with it. Enjoy it. You know, it's really that simple. Find something you like. And honestly, if you cannot find a thing you like about wrestling, why the hell are you still watching it? Unless you enjoy just bashing it, and then I don't even know what kind of person you are, because I just don't get that. But Roman is now built. Roman is now the guy. He has the title. He is where WWE wants him to be, whether the fans like it or not. Roman is where he's at. So now it's, okay, let's elevate the rest of the roster up to compete with Roman. Bray Wyatt was in line to get a push before he got hurt. We'll have to see if that still holds. But like Rock said, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, AJ Styles, all these guys are now being elevated up to come face-to-face with Roman. They're stacking up as challengers. And when Rollins comes back, that's going to get fun.
Rollins, Cena. And then you'll have a Beast incarnate lurking as well. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, Brock Lesnar and Bray Wyatt will be back on the scene too at some point.
We're getting there. It took some time. Did this process take a while? Yeah, but guess what? Stone Cold wasn't built in a day. He cut his promo in 96. He didn't start really gaining steam until another year and a half later.
The one thing I have to say about Roman is at least WWE waited until they felt it was right. They put it on him two times before, but it was a tease. It was a, okay, we're gonna give you a taste of it, but we're gonna take it away. It was that story. It was basically the Daniel Bryan story, except they did it for Roman Reigns. And was it perfect? No. Did it have its flaws? Absolutely. This is going to have its flaws, because Roman's still trying to figure this out. Roman's trying to figure out who he is as character.
Right.
But we're seeing more of it start to shine through, because now Roman is becoming cocky.
Yeah.
And he plays to that better than trying to be the brooding badass. It just wasn't working. So having him be that more cocky tweener where it's like, okay, yeah, I'm champion. All right, bring it on. That works for him because that's who he was in the Shield.
Right. Basically, at the end of the day, it's give things a chance. Don't look back. Look forward.
Yeah. I mean, the Attitude Era was great, but it's over.
Awesome. It was awesome. Go back on the WWE Arkansas there. Watch some of it. Watch it closely. I
really watch it. I mean, like we said, there were moments. There were feuds.
They were
awesome.
They're great moments. The 2000 was great. But there's some stuff that... some stuff. Just pay attention.
Kennel from hell. Kennel from hell, y'all. Okay? We had dogs mating on Monday Night Raw. Just saying. So anyway, I think that does it for us. What do you think?
I say that does it for another edition of The Rock right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Saturday will be The Rock Extra Told You, Season 5, Episode 13 will be available. We're taping it tomorrow. Check that out. Follow the show on Twitter at Rock Radio Show, Facebook.com/Rock Radio Show. Saturday night, midnight edition of CB Radio, The Weird, The Wacky, The Unusual. We'll talk about the MTV Movie Awards, because a certain celebrity, you know, screwed a bear. And we'll have the NHL preview, I think, with a Canadian. I think that's the plan. Check it out.
Wait, you booked an actual Canadian?
I think I've booked an actual Canadian.
Wow.
I know. What was the thing on Doug? The Alematode or something like that?
Something like that.
That he was trying to bag. I think I bagged the Canadian. So, check it out. Super Live. Saturday night, midnight. Super Live on Facebook, Twitter.com. Hashtag blame Rob when a celebrity dies. Blame sub when a celebrity gets arrested. Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern. Tim Stein, Omega, and Heartbreak Mike will break down the week in pro wrestling. We start the all-time greatest SummerSlam moment. Visit WrestleTalkRadio.com and vote now for the all-time greatest SummerSlam moment, because we're not doing social media. It's now on WrestleTalkRadio.com. at WTR Sunday on Facebook and Twitter. Monday Night Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. Right back here next Thursday night for another edition of The Rack at 10 p.m. Eastern. At Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Tommy, if you're in the sound of my voice, get a hold of me. Cool?
Cool. Cool with me.
By the way, go to prowrestlingtees.com/MBGfilms and support the man, the myth, the legend, Matt Goldberg.
Alright, you can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LNSWRD, and go to my website, psychworddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitters. And don't forget to check out our very fine sponsors, PWMania.com, TNAsylum.net, Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to youtube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop motion wrestling action figure needs on that, and Gerwick.net. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye!
That kind of giving me confidence instead of trying to escape through my comics. Why don't I just blast a little something like Onyx to put me in the mood to want to fight and write songs that say what I want to say to the kid that said that I eyeballed him. Grab hold of my balls like that's right, fight's on me. Who would have knew from the moment I turned the mic on that I could be iconic in my conquest? It's worth to fight dog from a tribe conquest.
This is my legacy.